Ephesians chapter number 1, and we're going to get started here this morning. Ephesians chapter number 1. Well, I like that. You can't see that clock in the back. That's good. So we'll take this one off so we can get at least... Yes, ma'am. I can remember being here in 1988. So what time am I supposed to stop? Okay. All right, next Sunday? Okay, first Ephesians chapter number 1, if you will. We're going to look at verse 13 and 14, but we're going to start back up where Dad left off here just this last hour, because we're going to be talking about the issue of the work of the Holy Spirit and the sealing that's going to take place here and why it's important in fulfillment of the will of God, of the will of the Father. Why it's important that He now comes in and seals you and so forth. And we all understand that we're sealed at the moment of salvation. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And all that in time happens at that split second of, I believe. And we're going to look at that. But there's some you know, I was just talking to one of the guys from our group about, you know, you can spend a lifetime on one verse, digging out everything, and we won't spend a lifetime, I promise you, but on these today, but you can. By the way, I'll say hello from the Saints there in Tempe, Arizona. We're there in just south of ASU and so forth, and we did have a real good time in October at our Bible conference, and we're going to do it again this year, same place. Maybe by then we'll have our building built. Who knows? We'll see how it goes. But it's the last weekend of October, and October, what is that, 30? October 30 through August 1. So what other better place to spend? October, November. Yeah, we go all year. Hey, we're funny that way, you know. October 30th through November 1st, okay? What better way to spend Halloween than at a Bible conference? So we'll have it there. Where the plan is right now to use the same facilities, Grace Inn there in Ahwatukee. But we'll hopefully by then have our building built. And if not, then we'll have it there and we'll have a good time either way. But Ephesians chapter number 1, I'm trying to get all the nervous jitters out. You know, people don't think you're nervous when you stand up here. But what's that? No, I can't do that. Then I show my true weight. And I'm good with the whatever Ted said a minute ago. Oh, not videoing? Okay. Yeah. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the morning, Lord. We thank You for Your word. We thank You that You reveal to us the mystery of Your will. And we don't have to live life in a not knowing, but that we can know. And we know it because You've revealed it to us through Your Word. And we'll just give You the praise and the glory. In Your name we pray. Amen. If you'll look at verse number 13, we're going to look at these two verses and we're going to dissect them and we're going to go down through them. And we're looking at the issue here about the work of the Holy Spirit in the sealing the believer. If you will notice back in chapter 1, verse number 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Verse 13 is not a salvation verse. In Ephesians, it's fascinating that, you know, he never tells you how to get saved in Ephesians. He's already assuming that you have been through Romans chapters 1 through 5. He's assuming that. He's not talking to people who are not saved. He's talking to believers. He's talking to folks who are grounded in Romans doctrine, who are faithful in Christ. Now, it's interesting, these same folks he's talking to over in chapter 5, he says, there's some of you guys that aren't living as who you are in Christ. And you're walking after the vanity of the Gentiles, and you need to knock it off, and you need to get straight, and this is how you do it. But here in verse 13, notice it's in whom. In whom, coming out of verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom? Who is the whom? In Christ. It's fascinating over the 10 years of teaching, but the 30 some odd years of understanding right division, that everything centers around Christ. Everything. with the will, the back up in verse 10 and 11, all things in Christ. And it's the love of Christ. It's Christ. That's the issue. Not you, not I, but it's Him and what the Father's doing with Him, what the Spirit is coming along and doing with Him as well, in whom ye also trusted. Now this is a great verse, by the way, about the process of salvation. The Calvinists don't like this verse because it tells you the process, and it does it in a reverse manner, if you will. He says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the what? The word of truth. We know, we understand in the process of salvation, the very first step is to hear what? You got to hear the gospel, don't you? Romans 10 and verse 17, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by reading the newspaper. No? By the word. That's why when you're out giving the gospel and you're out talking to people about their soul salvation, you got to give them the word. You know, you can give them all of the scientific data that you know about archaeology or about whatever to prove that God is God and the Bible is true and this and that. But ultimately, you got to get to the Word. And the Word is going to then go to work. And the Word of the Gospel, he says there, the Gospel of your what? Salvation. Now we know instantly, you should know because we're going based on already understanding the book of Romans, that that's not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's Romans 16, verse 25. Who has the power to establish you according to my gospel? Something specific, something that has now been made manifest, something that has now been made known. So it's not the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where was salvation? Salvation is of who? The Jews. Not you and I. In Matthew 10, in our Sunday school, we're going through the book of 2 Corinthians, and we're in chapter 5, and we've been looking at the Great Commission. And in Matthew 10, there, verse 5, you're left out in the cold in that verse. Right. Not to go to the Samaritans nor the Gentiles. Don't go that way. So he's not talking about that gospel. He's not talking about the gospel of so-and-so. Paul says, it's my gospel. And it's the gospel of your salvation. Salvation from what? From your sin, isn't it? For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. And we're going to get down in that inheritance stuff. It was fascinating. I get to talk about it today and I get to talk about it again tomorrow. Because it's exciting. He's talking here about the process. You hear the word and you respond to it. That's a definition of faith, by the way. You know, look over at Romans 4, just real quick here. Romans chapter 4. Some, you know, you run across people and it's faith alone, and there's no works involved in it. By the way, if you put works into salvation anywhere, whether it's after you pray the Amen prayer and you say Amen and you're now officially documented as being saved, if you add works to it, you know what you've just done to the cross of Calvary? You've made it of none effect. Okay? Belief today in the body of Christ is faith alone, no working. Now, if you're in Israel's program, what'd they have? They had faith, but then they had some works that they had to operate and perform next to that faith. Faith first and then some works. Now, today, it's faith. Oh, there's no works. But Paul says in Ephesians 2:10 that there's some good works that we should go do. There's some stuff that we should, you know, pay attention to. And that's understanding that. Look at Romans 4, verse number 5. Now, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of what? That. Romans 4, verse number 4. If you go to work today, what is it become? Becomes a debt. And you can't pay the debt of sin. That's perfect righteousness and you don't have it. But, I love the buts. You gotta like the buts, you know. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. What's counted to you for righteousness? Your faith. And then guess what your faith is? It's not a work. Otherwise, verse 4 can't say, if you're working, it's of a debt, now it's of faith. They don't work together. They don't go together. So it's the issue of your faith. In whom, after that you've heard the gospel, in whom you trusted. You believed it. And faith is simply a positive response to the Word of God. How many of you have talked to people and you get a negative response to the Word of God? We all do, right? Is that a response of faith or a response of unbelief? Unbelief. Because what is faith? You know, at home, I get an email from a guy who goes, "Boy, you sound just like your dad." Well, I grew up with him. He's my dad. And dad always said, you can be scriptural, but what? You got to be dispensational. The most dangerous position you can ever be in your life is to be scriptural, but not dispensational. You're in trouble. Back in Ephesians 1 here, verse 13, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye" what? You believe. So notice the context. Notice the order. What did they hear first? They heard the word. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse number 13. Look over there real quick with me. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 13. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye" what? "Heard of us." Did the Thessalonians have a written book from Paul at this time? The answer is no. He goes and sees them in Acts 16, 17 there. Then after he's done seeing them, then he writes back to them. But what did they hear? They heard the word of God, which ye heard of us. Ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that" what? So you hear the word. Ephesians 1:13. The first thing, you hear the word. You hear the gospel. You hear the issue that you're a sinner and you need a Savior, and that you don't have perfect righteousness, and that He has provided a means for you to obtain perfect righteousness, and it's the crosswork of Calvary. In Romans 3, verse 25, you need to pay attention to that verse when He says that He was a propitiation, and God Himself had faith in the blood of Christ. The Father said the blood's the way that you're going to have your forgiveness. Not over here in this, but over there in His work. You hear the word of truth. Then what did you do? You believed it. You took the operation of faith. You placed your trust in Him. And you believed it. Now, what happens after that? Well, the Holy Spirit comes to work. You want to know what the Holy Spirit does for your life today and how He works today? Here's the verse that tells you what He's doing today. He came in and did what to you? He sealed you, didn't He? You know, we get in the first Sunday of every month, we have Q&A at church on Sunday evenings. And one of the questions how does the Holy Spirit work today? Here it is, folks. He seals you. He comes in and He begins to operate and perform some things in your life. And He begins to seal you. And you're sealed with, verse 13, 1:13, "After that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Notice you're not sealed by the Holy Spirit. You're sealed how? With Him. That means the Holy Spirit isn't the guy doing the sealing. Who's the sealer? God the Father. You've placed your trust in God the Son. God the Father comes in using the Holy Spirit and He seals you. He says, "They're mine." And that's what He begins to do. Now, the work of the Holy Spirit, you got to pay attention to the little words. It's not by, but it's with. The Father comes in, uses the seal, and He's the Holy Spirit of promise. And we'll get into verse 14 and see that in just a second. But He seals you. Now, in the sealing, He does some things for you. By the way, real quick here, I'm going to jump ahead just real quick. What is the seal is? Look over with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. And we'll come back to this in just a minute here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 22. "Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit" where? In our hearts. He's sealed us. The idea of what the sealing is and what He is now going to be doing in you and for you and with you. Go over with me to Daniel chapter number 6. Let me just give you an illustrated verse here of what he is doing to you spiritually in this issue of the seal. Daniel chapter number 6, starting in verse 16, you have Daniel being thrown into the lion's den. But in verse 17, you get a picture of it. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own what? Signet. What's that? That's his mark, isn't it? You know, in a ring or on a stick, you know, and he would seal the letters. And he seals it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords that the purpose might not be charged concerning Daniel. What does he do there? They roll the stone in front so Daniel can't get out. And what do? They put the stick on it. And they seal it. He says, now, if anybody breaks this, we'll know it. We'll get it. So when the Spirit, go back to Ephesians 1, when the Spirit seals you, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy 2, He puts His stamp of approval on you. He puts His insignia on you. Now He's going to indwell you, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. But look at 2 Timothy 2, verse number 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. How does He know that you're His? The seal, the signet, His mark. Over there in Revelation, the guys out here in the ages to come, they are sealed in the forehead with God's seal. And it isn't 666. Okay? The 144,000 are sealed. The little flock, the believers that are, they're sealed with His insignia. You and I are, we got the stamp of approval, and it's the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit of promise. Now when you come back over into Ephesians 1, and He begins, and He says that we're sealed, there are some things that the Spirit begins to do in you, and with you. And it's all part of identifying who are His. Because there's a purpose coming in the next verse, verse 14, that's going to require your participation. And guess what? You get to participate in it whether you want to or not. Because He sealed you. He's yours. He sealed you with the Holy Spirit. There's a little acronym, and I'm sure that you've seen it, and it's called CRIBS. And at the moment when you hear the word, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. There's some things that the Holy Spirit comes in and He starts working in you. And these all, by the way, they don't happen in this order. They all happen at once. Okay? But cribs is just a nice, easy way of remembering it. You know what a crib is with the babies and stuff? Then it's cribs. The first one is the issue of circumcision. Look over with me at Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2. The second one is regeneration. The next one is indwelling. The third one, or the fourth one, is baptizes you. And then the last one is the issue of the seal. Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 11, verse number 9. For in Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and powers. In whom? In who? The guy you're complete in, the guy who you're in the head of all principality and power, He's the guy, right? He's Christ, the center of all. By the way, you notice in verse 10, He says that you're what? Complete? Well, dear Lord, we're praying for a special blessing today. You're complete. You got it. You don't get a special blessing. You don't need a special blessing. You got it all already. You know, what part of all doesn't mean all? Duh, you know. We do a little thing, thanks for playing, you know. Get with the game. Verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made, what? How? Without hands, doing what? in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Folks, that's a spiritual circumcision. Look at verse 12. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of Rick. Of who? Who's doing this, folks? It's the operation of God. What does He do? He circumcises you. And it's the issue of putting away, and it's the issue of freeing you from your flesh. Folks, that's Romans 6, 7 and 8. What does He do to you? He says, don't you know that if we're buried with Him, we're also in the newness of life with Him over here? Don't you know the baptized were identified with His death, burial, and resurrection? Romans 6, 3, 4, 5. And that old man is what? Crucified. And He goes in and He circumcises you. He frees you from the old flesh. Verse 11, I will point out again that is circumcision made without hands. What does Ephesians 2:11 say? Is circumcision what? Made with hands. And we're not in this program, are we? We're here. It's a spiritual issue. Regeneration, the R, Titus chapter number 3. Not only does he create this new entity in you, not only does He make you free from that old flesh, but He then comes in and He makes us alive. Titus chapter 3, verse number 5. Verse number 4, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He what? He saved us. His grace, His mercy. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit comes in and He take care of that flesh and gets rid of that, but then He comes in and He says, hey, I'm going to make you alive. Now, what's Ephesians 2:1 say? And ye who were dead in trespasses, has He what? Quickened. Made you alive. You're dead over there in trespasses and sins. You're nothing. He's made you alive. He's regenerated you. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 13. Now we're hurrying, but you can take each one of these and study them out in detail and on your own, because I got some other stuff to talk about. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 13. I missed one, didn't I? He indwells us. 1 Corinthians 9. You know where we're going. 1 Corinthians 9. See, look at that. 1 Corinthians 6. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 6. We'll get there. My 9 looks like a 6 and my 12 looks like a 3. So eventually we'll get there. 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Which is where? In you. What in Acts 2, what happened to them when the Holy Spirit came? What did He do? He fell what? On them. Not in them, but on them. Here, the Holy Spirit is where? In you. He dwells in you. He has a permanent residence. Permanently there, never to leave until the day of redemption happens. He's there with you, folks. He doesn't leave you. He's there. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, if by one Spirit we are all, what? Baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. That's the mechanics of moving you from death to life, from taking you out of Adam and putting you into Christ. And how that mechanic and how all that works is by the Spirit. The operation of God. And then the last one, go back over now to Ephesians chapter number 1. And that's the issue of sealing. And the issue of sealing. So that's the mechanics. And the issue of sealing is the issue of security. Circumcision. Regeneration. Indwells you. Baptizes you and seals you. Cribs. Okay? We got that? Those people standing up in the back looking. So, not that anything I would write up there would look anyway like Dad. So, all right. The ceiling in your scripture, in your Bible, the ceiling has an issue of security. What kind of security? Fleeting kind or permanent kind? How about permanent kind? He permanently resides there. He's not leaving you. You can't lose him. You can grieve him if you look over at chapter 4. You can make him upset with you, but he's not going to leave you. Look at chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Have you ever thought about how you grieve the Holy Spirit? Ever thought about that? What's the Holy Spirit? What is His one goal in your life that He wants to see accomplished? The life of Christ living in you. If you're not living that life, don't you think He's not happy with you? That would be grieving Him. You're not doing what the Word of God's told you to do. Okay? But what does He say? You're sealed unto the day of redemption. A security. Permanently secure unto a future event. And that future event is the day of redemption. Also called the adoption. Also called the catching away. Also called, we call it the rapture. The day there in Romans 8:23, we're waiting for the body, waiting for the adoption to wit, the what? The redemption. The day of redemption when He says, okay, enough is enough and let's go. We're going to get the program going. But look back in your scriptures, sealing. It's talking about security, that signia on there, Daniel 6, and permanently secure. In Jeremiah, it talks about a finished transaction. In Haggai, it implies ownership. It implies identification. It implies secrecy, by the way. Over in Nehemiah, it implies authority. It implies obligation. I mean, all of this stuff going on with the seal. But I want you to look back at chapter 1 now, verse 13, and notice the reason why you're sealed. Isn't so that He's got something to do, give the Holy Spirit to go do. Here, this is your job, you go do. We've already seen that it was the counsel of His own will. It was His good pleasure to do this already. It has nothing to do with, okay, here you go, Kevin, you got a job to do. You go up there and erase that board, and every time somebody gets saved, you erase the board. Take care of their sins, that's what you do, okay? All right, we're good to go. That's not what we're talking about. The sealing here, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The reason for the sealing is to fulfill the Father's will, to fulfill His plan and His purpose that He has in His Son, that we just looked at last hour in verse 10 and 11, that He's going to be able to take the heavenly government up here, and He's going to be able to fill it up with the body of Christ, and He's going to be able to take, and He's going to say, there you go, here's where we're at. And this is what we're going to do. How does He do that? What does the seal do? What did I show? 2 Timothy 2, the Lord will know who are His. And He's going to take the body of Christ and He's going to put us into those positions of government. The Holy Spirit of promise. Well, what is it? How about verse 14? Here's the promise. Here's the pledge, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Don't miss the praise of His glory. Because when we talk next time, tomorrow, about the inheritance, we're not going to talk about it today, but we'll talk about it tomorrow, the inheritance is to the praise of His glory. You know, people like the word inheritance. You know what that means, don't you? What do I get? Wrong. Not in this passage. You already have it, folks. You don't get anything except for that new body. And that's not a little thing to miss. It's a very big thing to get. Yes, mine too. But notice the pledge, the earnest, the Holy Spirit of promise. You know, when we talk about a promise, and I'll make a promise to you to be done hopefully here in a few minutes, And Paul in Philippians there 3 says, finally, my brethren. And he goes on for another two chapters. Okay? We say a man is as good as his word. That's what we say, don't we? It used to be a time when a handshake sealed the deal. You didn't need a lawyer and a team of accountants. You just needed a handshake. So the promise of the Holy Spirit, the seal of the Holy Spirit of promise, is only as good as what? The Word of God. And you know, that's pretty good. So let's... Well, what does he say over there? Let God be true and what? Every man a liar. So the seal, this pledge, this promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. The earnest. Well, we know that. We know what earnest is. If you've ever bought a house or a car, and they want what? Little earnest money. It says it in the contract. That's what it calls it. Earnest money. A down payment. A what? A security issue that you're going to fulfill the commitment that you're signing up to. Being an appraiser, I see a lot of people who have failed to continue the commitments that they signed up to. You know why? They didn't give any earnest money down. They had fancy lending. Didn't require it. Nothing to hold them to it. Now, if you try to get any financing commercially, we've noticed, you're talking half, at 50%, up to that. That's a big chunk. Now we're committed. Big time. Earnest, the commitment. Well, the Holy Spirit, He what? He indwells you, doesn't He? You think He's committed? I think He's committed. Not in that insane, the inmates running the asylum stuff, but He's there. He's not going anywhere. And His earnest. He lives on us. But there's an issue that He's going to perform, and it's an issue that the Father's will here, and that's the redemption of the purchased possession. That is that He is there until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of His glory. He's there to a point, isn't He? But it's a point where? What did John say last night? Pay attention to the time. Where are we at here? We're outside of our realm. He's there till what? To the redemption of the purchased possession. Now, who's the purchased possession? The body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 6, we just read. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of God and the Holy Ghost, which you were bought with a price? I mean, that's a pretty substantial payment that He made for you. And God the Father says, look, you've heard the gospel, you've trusted it. The Spirit comes along and seals you. And in one day, I'm going to redeem you. And how you know I'm going to redeem you is because you got my Spirit in you. And He's there with you. And He's the down payment. He's the security. Over there in Romans 4, the last verse of the chapter, and He says He was raised for our what? Down payment. Paid in full. Why? How do we know that our sins are forgiven and it's paid in full? Because what did He do? He rose from the dead. He's not a dead God, He's a living God. How do we know that? How can we... He's as good as His Word, isn't He? Because He is the Word. Because before the foundation of the world, what did He do? I got a little plan. Here we go. Here's the plan, guys. And you guys are walking along life's narrow way here. And you... I had a guy tell me, I bumped into Jesus one day. Okay. And he gave me a clear testimony of salvation. So that was a good bumping into, I guess. You get saved. You hear the gospel. And you start living your life. Hopefully according to Romans through Philemon. And then one day... there's a little shout that happens. Go over with me to 1 Thessalonians 4. You see, folks, we're sealed. You're on your way. Stop at Ephesians 4, verse 30. I'm sorry. Ephesians 4, verse 30, on your way to 1 Thessalonians 4. He says there in verse 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed." We always say till, but that's not that word, is it? Unto the what? The day of redemption. Here's the day of redemption, 1 Thessalonians 4. You see, we're sealed until something happens in our life. Now, we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We saw the list last night. We saw it some more this morning about the Father's will being revealed to us and made known unto us. So guess what you can't say? I don't know. What's God doing today? No, it's there. It's been made known. You can know it. You just got to do what? Read. Study. And he says, all this going on, your Christian life. You know, the culmination of a wonderful verse over there in Christian life, Galatians 2:20, it's not my life. Man, I live this life. It's His life living in us. And it's culminating now at an event called, we call it the rapture. A better biblical term is the day of redemption. When He redeems the purchased possession and He redeems the body of Christ. And here it is. And you see, folks, our sealing, again, wasn't to give the Holy Spirit something to do in the plan. There's a reason for it. We're studying the Old Testament on Wednesday night, and it's fascinating that nothing in your Old Testament is just there to fill up the page. It's there for a reason. We were discussing last night, the other Wednesday night, about all the kings and how it's interesting. And the kings are listed; their mothers' names are always listed. It's fascinating about that seed of the woman implication going through, and David and all this. It's fascinating. So it's not just there to, well, we need a word. Okay, no, it's there for a reason. And 1 Thessalonians 4, we're just going to jump right into it here. You know the passage well. For this we say unto you, verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which sleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Oh, that isn't that wonderful? No, hallelujah! Look at that! That's the day of redemption! You know, there's some of you guys walking in this room that will never see death. You know that? You will never experience, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Until that day right there. Because what happens at this day? He changes that vile body and it's fashioned like unto His what? Glorious body. We're talking about the day of redemption. So here you are. Walking along, doop-doop-doop-doop-doop, making the bills meet in the middle somewhere, hopefully. Working, taking care of family, taking care of ministry work. That, you know, by the way, you know all of you have ministry work, right? It just didn't... Brian Bible Ministry, just in Southwest Bible Fellowship, just in Grace Impact, Shorewood. We all have ministry that you should be doing. And you're walking along and all of a sudden there's a little bit of a shout and a trump and there's some rumbling going on in the heavens. And up from the graves begin to open up and the new bodies rise up and all this stuff is going on. And you're sitting there going, well, I wonder if I hope I get to go. No. How do you know that? Because you got that seal, don't you? You got that security blanket there, if you will. You've got an understanding that, hey, I'm sealed unto the day of redemption, unto that future event out there. I can get it. Well, what's that event all about? Well, it's just something more to do, isn't it? Thanks for playing. There's something going on here. And it's to the praise of His what? Glory. It's the story of His glory. Verse 17 again. We which are alive and remain. By the way, if you get to pass before the rapture happens, you're up first. You have an advantage. And you're lucky, if you will. Okay, better parking place. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to do what? There's a little meeting going on up here, right? Not meet as in, hey, how you doing? Glad to know you. But a meeting, a pre, you know, we're next Saturday we're going to have our men's fellowship at 8 o'clock a.m. That is a meeting, isn't it? Pre-planned, prefixed on the line, prefixed in your life of a meeting of the Lord. By the way, you got to really love, it's the Lord Himself. He doesn't send an angel for you. He shows up. And we meet the Lord in the air. Now, the meeting in the air is called the judgment seat of Christ. Paul talks about it, 1 Corinthians 3, 2 Corinthians 5, Romans 14. But we're not going to run all that. Otherwise, we would be here until next week. What time am I supposed to be done, by the way? You're up at 11:30. All right, we got a half hour. We're good. So we have the judgment seat of Christ. At the judgment seat of Christ, you give an account of what you've done in the body, whether it's good or bad. You give an account of your service. You get an account of, did you build on the foundation? How'd you build? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, I've laid the foundation. Be careful how you build on it. Because you can build a building of wood, hay, and stubble, and you can build a building that's going to have, you're going to build a building that will contain wood, hay, and stubble, and gold, silver, and precious stone. Your building, your internal inner man contains both of them whether you like it or not. Because there's been a point in your life that you've tried to do things your way, that's wood, hay, and stubble. And there's times in your life when you've done it God's way, that's gold, silver, and precious stone. And at the judgment seat, you're going to be tried by fire. And the fire's going to be turned up, and you know what the fire is, don't you? It's that heat lamp in the Greek. No, it's the Word of God. And when He turns up the Word of God, what's going to be left standing? The good stuff. Okay? Now He takes that good stuff. You come out on the other side of the fire, never looking better in your life. Because all of that wood, hay, and stubble is just, whoop, it's gone. Now I know what happens. People say it's judgment and that's bad. Well, sin's already been dealt with where? At Calvary, so it isn't sin, the issue. The issue is your service. The issue is your suffering and your conduct. And what did you do after you heard the Word? How did you operate with the light you had? You know, there's going to be some folks who just get saved, and in the next breath, the rapture happened. They didn't get very much time to build anything, did they? But they're going to be glory. They're going to be glad they're there, aren't they? And they'll be singing to the praise of His glory. Mine at home don't move when I hit it. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. You're in 1 Thessalonians. Look at verse number 19. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? You see what Paul says? What his crown of rejoicing is, isn't how many crowns he's got stuck on his head and he's trying to do the, do I walk in the office? What does he say? It's you guys at where? With the Lord at His coming. It's you guys up there. It's going to be a wonderful day. And we go through the judgment seat and we come out on the other side, chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians, verse number 13. To the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father. When? When does He do this? Well, He does it right now, right? But when does the verse say? At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of His saints. Well, when does He get us? Right here, right? We're in His presence. We go through the judgment seat of Christ. He takes us and He presents us to the Father. Here they are. And He says, I'll present the church spotless and without blemish. Holy. Here they are. Here they are, Father. And you know what He says? In my Son I am what? Well pleased. In my Beloved. Accepted in the Beloved. Forgiven all their sins. And just tick the blessings, folks. There they are. And you know what? It's all about Christ. And the Father then takes us. Go back over to Ephesians 1. And the Father's going to take us now. And He's going to move us over into the heavenly places. And He's going to put us in those principalities and powers and thrones and dominions. And there's like seven titles that Paul uses to describe the governmental structure of the heavens. And he begins to move us over into those rank and authority where Satan and his cohorts what? Once resided. But what happens in Revelation 12? There's a little war in heaven, isn't there? And Michael and his angels fight against Satan and his angels. And what happens to the old Satan? He's kicked out of heaven. And the heavenly places are now what? Purged of the usurper. They're set up as what? Perfect. And in we go. Right in. To Colossians 1:16 and Ephesians 1 verse 20 here. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named. Don't miss that one. That's a wonderful catch everybody. Not only in this world but also in that which is to come. He's going to set us in to that heavenly government. And He's going to set us in there because what does verse 14 say? It's unto the praise of what? His glory. Look real quick over at chapter 2, verse 7. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know, over there in the ages to come, when they look up there in heaven, you know what they're going to see? They're going to see the body of Christ, and you know what they're going to see? The riches of His grace. They're going to see the praise of His glory, because look at what He's done with a bunch of unlovables. Look at what He did. And the sealing of the Holy Spirit, and the issue here with the seal with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. You see, folks, we have the security of the Holy Spirit indwelling in us and living in us and residing in us and using the Word to work in us until on a future event. And that future event of the rapture and all those procedures that go on and events that happen. And for what? Unto the praise of His glory. Now, tomorrow we'll talk about the inheritance. Because there's an inheritance there. Our inheritance, if you look down at verse number 18, there's His inheritance in who? You. In the saints. And there's some inheriting going on there. In the Father's will. We saw it revealed in verse 9 and 10. The Father's will requires the need of a group of people who are His. They are sealed. They're identified to be His. And that group is going to be used in the heavenly places in that heavenly government. Now on earth, we'll look tomorrow over there in Isaiah. He talks about the earth. And He says, Israel is mine inheritance. But today, the Father's will requires there to be a group of people who are His to be used in the recapturing, to be used in the reorganization of the heavenly government. Because one day He's going to cast out the usurper. Look over Ephesians 6:12, if you like. And when He cast out the usurper, He's going to then establish His government. And all of this is the praise of His glory. See, it isn't about you, it's about Him. And it's His glory. And it's His. We get the privilege of participating in that. And that's the inheritance, quite frankly. We'll look at all that next time. So when you read these verses, verse 13 and 14, they're very important. Well, verse 13 gives you that process of understanding the gospel, of salvation. But there's more to it than that. Because he's already talking to people who are saved, sanctified. They're faithful in Christ Jesus. And he says, hey, there's something else going on here with that Spirit. With the Spirit. And that's to finish out and to produce the praise of His glory and His will. And to obtain and to accomplish some things in the will of the Father. And that's not here, it's over there. In the dispensation of the fullness of times. And when all that gets done in the ages to come and they look up there and they go, wow, look at this. And you can see the exceeding riches that are going on there. So that's the ceiling with that Holy Spirit of promise. What's the promise? That He's going to get it done. Eternal life. And He's going to get it accomplished. And when He gets it accomplished, it's going to be to the praise of His glory. And we can say, what? Thank You for allowing us to participate in that. Because it could have been real simple for Him to do what? Okay, body of Christ created. There it is. But He didn't do that, did He? Why? Because before the foundation of the world, He had what? He had a plan. And He's working His plan. And when the plan has come to fruition, creation as a whole is going to sit there and go, wow. Look at this. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You for the morning, Lord. We thank You for Your Spirit. We thank You for what He has accomplished with us and in us. And Lord, just as we continue to study, we would do so with our hearts and our ears open to the Word. And that we would, at the end of the day, have a heart of gratitude for Your riches of Your grace. And that You have abounded that toward us. That. We'll just give You the praise and the glory in Your Son's name. Amen.